Jeremiah 4, here you have some very intimate appeals from God in relation to the state of human hearts. Verse 4, circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Well, God has said multiple times before this in the lead up to this statement that his wrath cannot now be quenched. But he says, yes, it can be, actually, if you circumcise your hearts. You see then the extreme importance that God gives to the state of the human heart, or the mind, we could say. To be spiritually minded, what we think about. This is so critical. It's why I keep on about, don't fill your mind with rubbish, with looking at empty nonsense on social media, listening to empty songs on the radio or whatever, filling your library, as it were, that's in your head of images and stuff with trash. Read God's word, not novels. Look at his ways rather than the empty ways of men. Because it is the state of our heart which is so critical, far more than works. Because you'd have expected, really, God to say through Jeremiah, look, quit your idolatry, or some specific kind of sin, and keep on about that. Well, of course, he does say that, but the essence is, circumcise your heart. And so he goes on. Verse 14, Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness that you may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts or vain thoughts abide and lodge within you? Well, how long will your vain thoughts lodge within you? Stop thinking about nonsense. Because vanity in the Old Testament is specifically associated with idolatry. So the equivalent of idolatry is, I would say, thinking about vain and empty things. And our world, like nothing ever before, tempts us and leads us into that. This whole life lived looking at a screen, especially in terms of social media, leads you into that. This is what passes for entertainment in this world leads you to. Look, you've got the Bible. You've got the things of God's word, the great things of his word. His thoughts, let them lodge within you. Now, the idea of circumcise yourselves is, I must admit, it's sort of so intimate, isn't it, that it's sort of a little bit embarrassing to talk about it. But let's give the words their full weight. Circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and take away the foreskins of your heart. This is something that would be done very carefully if somebody was to circumcise themselves and somebody was going to sit down with a knife and do that. You're going to be very, very, very delicate with yourself doing that, and you're going to feel that you're very much in touch with yourself. And so this is what they're being asked to do. Get in touch with yourself. What are you really thinking about in the most intimate, deepest parts? What is your true, deep desire? Now, Jeremiah has quite a bit to say later on about God circumcising hearts, and Ezekiel likewise. This was under the new covenant that was being offered them. But if they accepted the new covenant, then God would write his word in your heart. God would do this to them. He would circumcise their hearts. He would write his law in their hearts. And likewise, verse 14, Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness. God says he would wash their hearts. Now, we have accepted that new covenant, which Israel or Judah at this time did not want to accept. And God is willing to do this to us. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The holy mind, if you like. He's not talking about miracles, speaking in languages and rabbits out of hats and raising the dead. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about this absolutely necessary hand and movement of God in the very deepest recesses and the most intimate places of human personality. just as, let's say, circumcise the foreskins of your hearts. Now, if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to let him in, he will do this. And this is what we want, is it not? A heart that is absolutely for him, that the core driving passion is for him and for his son and for his kingdom. Why don't people let him in to do that? Because they want to get on with their agenda. Because, of course, if he is fiddling around with your most intimate core desire, well, of course, your interest in secular things and secular advancement and your own pride and your own advancement and your own achievement will just disappear, won't it? It will no longer matter what kind of house you live in, what kind of kitchen you have, what kind of car you have, if you have one. It will no longer matter to you, this, that, or the other. The size of your savings, if any, what kind of phone you have, all this kind of stuff. And yeah, that's the stuff that life's made of in secular life. And that's what makes the wheels go round in life, in society. And if you let God into your life, into your heart, into your most intimate places, well, that's all not interesting anymore. That's not for me. And me, advancing me and my image and my glory, well, no. It's all about him. It's all about his glory. But I trust that we are not of those who are like that. And I just urge you to do this so that the whole driving passion of your life is him and his things and his kingdom.